Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Kimberly Pauley, who's founder of Young Adult Book Central, which is a leading young adult and kids literature site on the internet. She's been reviewing books since 1998 and gives away hundreds of books a year. She keeps up with news about the young adult publishing world, and that's why people visit her site. And there they'll find authors, biographies, and appearances, and lots of information related to what's going on in young adult literature and children's. In college, she specialized in YA literature and also attended many science fiction classes, which may explain how the first novel that we'll talk about came to be. And she's also published short stories, primarily crime fiction, for media like Hard Boiled Magazine. Her first novel is Sucks to Be Me, The All-True Confessions of Mina Hamilton, Teen Vampire Maybe, published by Mirrorstone Books. So Kimberly, thanks for talking with me. First, tell me what got you interested in reviewing YA and children's books.
Well, thank you for having me. I've really always been a reader, even from a very young age, and I specialized, as you mentioned, in young adult and children's literature in college, so it's always been a passion of mine. I had been working in the corporate world for a while and honestly hated it, as you know, many writers who used to be in that kind of area did. And I had an opportunity to do some reviews, and I really liked it. And I wound up expanding that into the young adult books website that you mentioned. And it's been getting bigger and bigger every year since 98. And I'm very proud of it. It takes a lot of time, but it's been a great experience. And, you know, I get to tell my mom that I finally, you know, I'm actually using my degree for something. So it's definitely always been a passion, and it's nice to be able to actually do something with it. So,
and you've told me this is a pretty big feat. I mean, this is reaching some very large numbers at this point.
Oh, definitely. It's gotten bigger every year. I've hit over 400,000 page views a month, and it gets visits from all over the world, primarily the U.S. and Canada, but I've had visitors really from just about every country, over 80 countries, and there's a lot of kids that visit, a lot of parents, a lot of teachers, a lot of librarians. It pulls in a lot of different people, all different ages. We get grandmothers that enter contests because they want to win books for their kids, and a lot of kids from Australia looking for information for book reports. You know, it's a little bit of everything, and it's a great community. There's also a forum on the website, so teens get together and chat about books, and there's a blog that goes with it, and it's a nice community, I think, for readers.
And it's interesting because you really started at a time where all of this was fairly early on in the process. So how quickly did you feel that things were really catching on?
Well, it had a small following in the beginning, because I actually originally started doing some reviews for what was then the mining company and turned into About.com. And at one point, they decided to divest themselves of a lot of their teen sites, which is when I sort of went out on my own and really expanded it then. And it was a great thing because, you know, you were very restricted in what you could do when you're writing for somebody else. When you're doing things for yourself, you know, you can do pretty much whatever you want. And I was able to support a lot of smaller authors and smaller presses, but also work directly with the big publishers and publicists and do a lot of things that I don't think I could have done if I'd been writing for other people. And it really started building up after I took it on just and ran it myself. But then after I quit my corporate job, which was, I guess, about 3 years ago now, and then it really started taking off because I had more time to devote to it then. Between, it pretty much became that and my writing that I focused on. And at that point, you know, it really started to grow.
What about, how would you describe what you look for in a book that you feel is something that intrigues you to review? And I know you review a lot, but what's some of the criteria?
Well, everybody has their personal preferences. which is why I do have a number of other reviewers that volunteer for the website, mm-hmm. because I don't enjoy all kinds of books. I mean, I do enjoy most things, but you know, nobody enjoys everything. I particularly like fantasy, and science fiction is always a favorite of mine. You know, I cut my teeth on Heinlein when I was young. I'm not a huge romance person, though every now and then, you know, you have to indulge in that. So I look for those, but mostly I really look for a book that speaks to a teen reader directly and doesn't condescend to them. You have some novels that are like teaching novels, you know, where they're really trying to push a lesson, and I don't particularly enjoy this. I don't find that teenagers really do either. I mean, if there's definitely books out there that have a message and have a lesson, and they can be great reads, or they can just be something that, you know, they're trying to hit you over the head with the message. And I really like the books that when you read it, you're in the story and you're enjoying the story, and it's something that, you know, you might learn from it, but most of all, you're enjoying it.
About self-publishing, which obviously a lot of people are trying their hands at. It's becoming easier to do. What do you do about that?
Well, we are one of the few websites that will accept self-published books for review. I have to say, in my own personal experiences, that there are some really good self-published books out there. Mm-hmm. There are also some really terrible self-published books out there. And then there's, you know, probably a good chunk in the middle where there are books that they would have been even better if they had gone through an editing process and, you know, gone through the whole traditional publishing grinding wheel. But it's a very tough process, and it's a very slow one. A lot of people don't necessarily have the patience for it, and they read stories in magazines about somebody who self-published a book and became this huge success, and that is so rare. It's so very rare, and anyone who's ever asked me for advice about this, I'm like, you know, you really need to try doing it the traditional way. If you want a book that a lot of people are going to read and enjoy, hopefully, and a book that will be the best possible product, then, you know, definitely try to do it, you know, the traditional way. And that's, like I said, there are some good self-published books out there. But I think the main reason to do a self-published book is if you're looking, just you want to get a book out there maybe for your family, or there's some reason that you feel like you have to have complete control over every aspect of it. If you're not a person who can give up some control, then you're not going to be happy with traditional publishing. But definitely I would advise people, you know, put in the time. If you've got a good book and you believe in it, then put in the time and try to, you know, work your way through the horrors that publishing can be, because it's worth it if you can get through the process.
Now, a lot of times when you attend a conference for writers, what you hear other authors say is that if you want to be a good writer, read a lot. And so my question for that is, I mean, you're the ultimate person who's been reading a lot. How has the reviewing impacted you as a writer?
Oh, well, definitely it affects you. I mean, just about every author, I think, will tell you that reading is one of the most important things you can do, you know, and that's right up there with writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously. You have to read a lot and you have to write a lot, because a lot of what you write is going to be bad and you have to get through that. But being a reviewer, I think, has definitely helped me as a writer, because I'm not only reading a book for enjoyment, but I'm reading it with sort of a critical eye. You know, and you're really looking for things then. You're looking, you know, are they carrying the plot through all the way? Are they, you know, successfully closing off those ends? Are they keeping readers interested? Are they, you know, descriptive enough? Or, you know, are the characters well developed? So you kind of develop an eye for things. Also, in my own writing, I found, you know, little tricks like read things aloud. If you're reading dialogue and you stumble over the words when you're trying to read them, then, you know, chances are it doesn't sound right. So there's a lot of things you can pick up on when you've read a lot of books, and you get the rhythm and flow of how things should be. And it helps you just as a writer, definitely. And it helps you as a person. The more you read, the better off you are.
Did you find it intimidating at all, now that you, I mean, because you had known what it's like to critique and be critiqued and that kind of thing. Did it feel worrisome to actually put your own things down with people's expectations about you?
Oh, well, definitely. I'm sure that there's probably some people out there who may or may not have liked a review of their book that I did that might be looking at me, you know, or might be in their sight. I mean, so far the feedback's been really good, and I'm very happy about that. But I do know that, you know, sooner or later somebody out there is not going to like the book, because not everybody likes everything. And, you know, that's definitely the case for me. There's been books that I've read that, you know, other people really loved and I didn't love so much. But that's one reason that I tell people, you know, read multiple reviews of things. And even with the reviewers that I have, they've asked me before, you know, I've read this book and somebody else has already reviewed it, do you still want me to review it? And I'm like, absolutely, because multiple opinions are great things. Everybody likes different stuff, and everybody's going to pick up on different things. You know, I might like the fantasy aspects in something, while somebody else might like the romance that's in it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a lot that anybody can get. But so far, the feedback has been good on my book, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I think it'll be good. So one of the things is your main character is facing what girls face, that, you know, moments when they're growing up and they have to make a lot of decisions that the other people in their life can't make for them. Hers is kind of unusual. You want to tell us a little bit about what she's up to?
Yeah, my husband actually calls it a vampire bat mitzvah story. That's what he likes to condense it down to. But yeah, her parents are vampires, and she has to decide in just a month whether she wants to be one or not too. And it's mostly being pushed by some, officious red tape kind of loving vampires that are on the High Council kind of thing. And she's got to go through vampire lessons on top of her regular schoolwork. And meanwhile, she's also dealing with, you know, kind of boy troubles, which every girl in high school pretty much has. At least I've never met one who didn't. You know, I definitely did. I think everybody does. So she's got all those things. And, you know, it's the last thing that she'd really like to be thinking about right now is whether she wants to do something for the rest of her life. And when she says the rest of her life, when you become a vampire, it's a really long time. So it's a big decision for her, and it's one that she's got to weigh carefully while she's weighing all these other things, like, you know, maybe what's the best color to wear to prom and things like that. So it's a fun book, though. It's a big decision, and it's not necessarily treated in a lighthearted manner, but it's a lighthearted read, I think.
Why do you think vampires have held such fascination, certainly for, you know, kids? It's intriguing, that, you know, the lore of it. And so what is it in your mind that has people so interested in all of that?
Well, vampire, the legends and myths about vampires have actually been around for, you know, hundreds, actually probably thousands of years. And while I was doing research for the book, I found that every culture has a vampire myth. I mean, even ones that you don't associate with, you know, the Chinese culture has a vampire myth. They all do. Every, you know, you can go to a small village in Africa and they've got a vampire myth. So I think it's something that resonates with people because it has a couple elements. It's got a fear of death, which, you know, everyone has. That's kind of an innate human thing. You know, we all fear death, and people want to know what's coming next. There's also something very mysterious about it, because vampires are usually seen as like creatures of the night, which isn't necessarily true, but, you know, they're seen that way. So there's the mystery surrounding it. And then a lot of recent literature and movies have really romanticized vampires. And I think teenagers are drawn to that as well, because vampires in some ways are seen sort of as these aloof creatures. They're sometimes loners. And I think teenagers can identify with that a lot, because no matter how popular you are in high school or even after, but no matter how popular you are, you always have some times where you feel alone, where you feel, you know, beset upon by the rest of the world. And vampires definitely have that kind of burden, but at the same time, they're kind of seen as these, you know, very mysterious creatures that, like, you know, one of them's been played by Brad Pitt, so you've got that whole sexiness aspect to them as well. So I think it's a very appealing thing. And I mean, in recent time, we've had, you know, the Stephanie Meyer books, which have definitely increased the popularity of vampires. But they've always been around. I mean, you know, before Anne Rice, there were vampire books, and it's something I think that just everybody's always curious about.
And how much of the vampire lore, you talked about that a little, will people find in this book?
Well, quite a bit. Some of it may not necessarily be obvious, but I did actually do quite a bit of research for it. At the start of each chapter, I even start each one off with sort of a myth about vampires and then what Mina's take on what the truth of the matter is. So you'll find a lot of things there. I mean, even down to things like what color eyes a vampire should have. In the book, they turn either blue or green, and that actually is taken from some actual legends about vampires. And I tried to come up with a scientific reason for it, you know. But so there is a lot in there. I talk about the book Dracula as well. It is sort of like the, you know, the seminal vampire literature out there. It's the one everybody thinks of, definitely. Even if there's tons of people who've never actually read it. They've seen movies, you know, and everybody knows who Dracula is. That's kind of a stodgy book, but it's still a fun book. But, maybe fun's not the right word for it. But there's a lot from that book, though Mina actually develops kind of a hatred for Bram Stoker because of all the misinformation in the book as she sees it, too. But there's definitely some things that you can look out for in the book to find out how vampires really are.
Now, other than her vampire-ishness, if that's a word of the phrase would be for that, what about her as a teenager? Is she like you? Were you very different as a teenager?
Well, I don't know that she's like me exactly. I think she's got more confidence than I had. But I tried to make the book not really just a vampire book. I wanted it to be a book about a teenager who had a really big decision and who's going through teenager kind of things. You know, like I mentioned before, everybody's got boy troubles. And there's also, you know, girl troubles. And the things that teenagers are concerned about, you know, she's worried about prom at the same time that she's worried about this very life-changing decision. And that's really kind of how your priorities are there. There's, even if you've got something huge going on in your life, you're still going to be worried about these social events that are happening as a teenager that you have to be concerned about. Prom is big. School is big. You know, all the friends and family, all those issues are really big. So I wanted this to be a book that even if you don't normally read vampire fiction or any kind of supernatural fiction or genre fiction, that you could still pick this up and enjoy it.
About her as a character, do you think, do you have plans, or would you want to tell us if you have plans to continue the story?
Well, I do. Hopefully I get to, so go out and buy the first book. In the next book, well, I can't give away too much, actually, because then it would give away the ending of the first book, but there's definitely another few books planned. Mina has to go through some trials and tribulations, so the tentative title, actually, of the second book would be It Still Sucks to Be Me. She still has some things to work through with her parents, and, you know, she's still got some issues with the Vampire Council that, you know, they always seem to be wanting her to do something that she doesn't want to do. So I've got some big plans for her, including some cross-country moves and some big decisions that she'll have to make.
Watch for that. What about other writing plans? Anything else that we should know?
I actually have a few different books that are in various stages of completeness. I've got a 3-month-old baby at the moment, though, so he's making a lot of writing a little hard. But I definitely have some plans. I've got a middle grade fantasy that's partially completed that I hope to finish up. And actually another sort of more traditional fantasy, a little bit in a swords and sorcery kind of realm. It's one I'd been putting through a critique group for a while, and it's gotten really good feedback from there, though I haven't shown it to anybody official yet. So, but it's a book that I really, really like, and it's actually one my husband likes a lot, mm-hmm. So he keeps pushing me to finish that one. But it's kind of on the back burner until I you know, work out some more details with Mina. And I've got outlines actually for a number of other things, and there's even some adult works that I've kind of dabbled in that I've got outlines for. My big problem is not ideas, it's time. ideas are relatively easy, it's finding the time to actually get them down onto paper that's the hard part.
So we'll be patient.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know, the baby's finally getting into a schedule, so it's I'm actually finding some time to write now. I really wasn't sure how the whole motherhood thing would be, and it's great, but he definitely takes a lot of time. I should say he sucks it right up, you know, and the time just flies. It's, you know, you think it's, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you look up, and all of a sudden it's five. So it's been a challenge, but like I said, it's slowly kind of resolving. I think as he gets older, it'll get easier too.
Okay, we'll be looking for more on the writing front from YA Book Central for baby news if you decide to share. But thank you for talking with me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.